Well, welcome along to Fundamental Baptist Fellowship today, and this is the 15th of October 2023, and this is part 34 in the series on the Book of Revelation. Part 34 in the series on the Book of Revelation. We've gone from chapter 1, we're now through to chapter 17 today, getting towards the second coming of Christ, which is chapter 19. And in fact, when we saw chapter 16, which was the bowl judgments or vile judgments, there were seven of those. When we saw those, chronologically, the end of chapter 16, chronologically that is, in order of time, the next sequence is chapter 19. Okay? It goes chapter 16 and then chapter 19 chronologically. Okay? But chapter 17 and 18 are a parenthesis. There's a gap. And there's a lot of those in the Book of Revelation. And chapter 17 and 18, these events will occur during the second half of the tribulation, but they'll occur before the end of chapter 16. Okay? Well, before the end of chapter 16. So it's the destruction of two Babylons, religious Babylon and commercial Babylon, okay? And chapter 17 is about the destruction of the religious and political system, and chapter 18 is about the destruction of the commercial system. You know the system in the world today where the money rules? And there's that many people today, there's more billionaires and trillionaires today than there's ever been. That'll all go up in smoke. This shows you how it's going to happen in chapter 18. All the wealth of every empire from creation will all go up, human wealth, in smoke. All be burnt. Chapter 17 is about religious Babylon, and it's about the work of the great war, the great whore, the great war of Babylon, mystery Babylon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that in this context here, it's often very difficult to understand. This is not one of the easiest chapters in the Bible to understand, but I'll try to make it as, give me help, Lord, to help me to try and make it as simple as possible. Lord, as I understand it, we'll go through one verse at a time. We won't get through it all today because we don't have time. But we would pray we'll get through just a few verses and help us to clearly understand what God wants us to know and to be aware of the future. We know, of course, Lord, that none of these events we'll ever see on earth. It'll only be for those who are left behind. The church will have been raptured. The church is in glory, receiving rewards or losing rewards at the judgment seat of Christ after having been gone through a wedding ceremony in heaven. We're betrothed today, waiting for the groom to come. We're the bride. Lord, we're waiting for the groom to come to be married one day. But we're betrothed today to him, and we wait for that moment, Lord, when you come for us, you come for your bride in the clouds to catch us away for a wedding in heaven. And then we'll live for eternity and have a wedding supper that'll last 1,000 years on earth. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. After the outpouring of the bowl judgments, as said, you would expect a lengthy interlude, but you expect to read the account of the second coming, but there's an interlude, and it was explained about how that interlude works a moment ago. It's important to understand in Revelation 17 and 18 exactly what Babylon refers to. Now think of it this way, just think of the word Wall Street. And what do you think about when someone says Wall Street today in New York? What's the very first thought that comes to your mind? The share market. Murray? The share market, correct. Shares. It's a stock market, okay? But it's both a literal street as well and a stock market. Wall Street in New York is a real street, but it's also a system. Okay? And so when we see the term Babylon, it's got to be seen as both a literal city, a real city, and a religious, political, commercial system. It's both. And here in Revelation, we have an ecclesiastical Babylon, or a religious one, which is apostate Christendom. And it will be headed up by the Roman Catholic Church. It's not just the Roman Catholic Church. It's a system, a religious system, that the centre of it is, and the head of it, is the Roman Catholic Church. And secondly, we have political Babylon, which is the empire of the beast, or Antichrist, and his satellite nations. So we have the religious system, we have a political system together. And in Daniel, we saw the beginning of the times of the Gentiles, and in Revelation, we see the end of those times, you see. So we see a strange alliance here today, a very unusual alliance. And just take your little bits of paper here and I'll explain to you the diagram. If you look on the back page, it's got the newspaper article. Now, the newspaper article is not that relevant. I'm not sure whether I've even read it all. But I couldn't get rid of I don't know how to use photo, to edit photos in my computer. So I couldn't just snap the photo out of it. You'd understand what I'm trying to say. I tried to do it for ages and couldn't do it, so I had to copy the whole article. But this came from Time magazine on December the 9th, 1991, that picture of a woman with all these nations sitting holding the European Union flag, and is sitting on top of a bull, okay? That was on Time magazine in 1991. That's a woman riding a beast. Okay? And this, yeah. And you've got all the people there, all the nations of the world, and this a woman is there amongst all those, almost like the leader of them all, and she's looks like she's in control, sitting on top of a bull, saying, okay, go this way, go that way. I'm the boss here, but in actual fact, it's the opposite way around. The bull, which is a picture or a type of the Antichrist. Remember our passage today said, verse 3, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast. So it's a red-coloured beast. I didn't have colour here. So it's a red-coloured beast, and this woman sits upon the top of it. And but the bull is directing the traffic. The bull is allowing her to ride upon his back and using religion and the influence of that woman's religious influence to draw people into a net. And once they're drawn in by the religious influence, then the Antichrist will destroy that woman, okay? Now, the woman is referred to a harlot or a great whore. And I want you to notice that on the other side of our diagram, of our bit of paper, Babylon and the Beast, you've got this woman there parading, and she's got a golden chalice in her hand, which it says that she had in Revelation 17, and she's got a veil on her face. Can you notice that? Because what is she called in verse 5 of Revelation 17? Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon, verse 5. The great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So she's a mystery. Who is this person? She's got a veil on her face covering up an identity. You know, we're not supposed to know who. It's a mystery. And of course, there's seven heads there. That this woman has, riding upon the bull. Sorry, the bull has this 10 heads, okay, the beast. And so you've got that, and you've got this woman dressed in scarlet clothes as well. So she's dressed in red, and she's holding a golden chalice. It's supposed to be a mystery. She has all these pearls and other diamond ring on her finger there. If you see on the right hand there, she has a diamond ring, I think, it's supposed to be on there, very precious. And of course, you're sitting on top of that, and the beast has seven heads. So she's called a great whore or a harlot or a prostitute. It's where we're getting this word pornography from. And the context doesn't refer to fornication, but it refers to spiritual infidelity toward the true God. She's unfaithful towards the true God. It's not physical immorality. It's unfaithfulness to God, spiritual immorality. And in the Bible, harlotry stands for idolatrous worship. And when people worship as God, a God of their own making, and they give their hearts to idols, when they set up systems and doctrines and rites and rituals to replace what God has commanded in his word, that's called whoredom, adultery, or spiritual fornication. Okay? So she's called a great whore. That's the first statement. The second thing is, if you would notice, in verse 17, it says halfway down chapter 17, verse 1, sorry. Halfway down verse 1 of chapter 17, it says, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." So the second characteristic, after noticing that she's a great whore, that in that verse, a great whore, it also says she sits upon many waters. Now the power of this woman extends to all parts of the population of the earth. So that's talking about the world's population, the many waters. Waters in scriptures, in Revelation particularly, there's a symbol of nations of the world. It's symbolic. And so it's not just limited to a region like Israel. Verse 15 says that these waters, remember, what's the best interpreter of the Bible? When you don't know what something means, where do you go to find the answer? The Bible itself. Now look over in verse 15 of chapter 17. "And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues." Can you see that? So the Bible is its best interpreter. That's how we know what these words mean. So it's sitting upon all the nations of the world. Notice that diagram in the EU. That's a European Union. That was depicting the European Union, the European Union of world nations. And that woman is sitting amongst who? All the flags of all the nations of the world. In that little diagram on the back there. She's sitting amongst all that. There's little flags. Don't take notice of the yes, no. It's not to do the referendum there. That's just a coincidence, by the way. I've just noticed that. See the flags? All different flags of every nation. "And the kings of the earth are in her pocket." You can see that in verse 2. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So the kings of the earth there are in her pocket. Leaders of the Gentile nations are closely linked politically with this woman. So they all want to be on her side. They all want to be together, part of this great unit that this woman is going to draw together from and out of, in many ways, later on, the 10 Federation of Nations, which will come later on as we talk about that. So that's the European Union, the flag of the EU. "And she leads the inhabitants of the earth to do evil," in verse 2. We read that, didn't we? "Have committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And she motivates citizens to do that which is evil." So she's directing people to do wickedness. "And she's aligned very closely with the Antichrist," verse 3. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast." full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and how many horns? 10 horns this time. Okay? So 7 heads and 10 horns. So she motivates that this woman is aligning with the Antichrist. The Antichrist is aligning with her. This woman sits straddled upon a scarlet-coloured beast. And remember, it's red, the beast. And remember, the colours of the woman's clothes are scarlet. And it appears she controls the beast. However, the beast, as I said, is only supporting the woman, using her to achieve his evil ends. And then he turns on her. That's the Antichrist. The woman is the one world ecumenical apostate church, headed up by the Roman Catholic Church. And the beast will use her influence to draw nations into his net. And later he will use the 10-nation confederacy to destroy her. And her name is Mystery Babylon. She's got the covering, as we saw on the other diagram, over her face there. She's not ancient Babylon. Okay? She's not the ancient city of Babylon. When they say Babylon there, they're not talking about the old city of Babylon that was destroyed, because God said it would never be rebuilt in Jeremiah chapter 51. It says it'll never be rebuilt. It's not ancient Babylon, but it's the Roman Catholic Church, which has its headquarters in the city of Rome and is its own country called the Vatican City, right? And heads up a one-world ecumenical apostate church of the tribulation period. Why all the world, Christian pastors said, are looking at all the Muslims attacking Israel, their eyes are off the Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church are centre place in the tribulation period. The Muslim nations attack Israel, but the Roman Catholic Church is there heading up that attack. Amazing, isn't it? She's wealthy. Look at verse 4. And the woman, or the Roman Catholic Church heading up the ecumenical empire, was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filth of her fornication. And that's costly clothing, that's jewellery. You can see in that little diagram of artist's interpretation, it's quite funny in some ways, I suppose, but it's true. See the diamonds there and everything, and I'll tell you too, and the clothing. They're reminiscent of the trappings of ecclesiastical religion. Like the Catholic Church or the Greek Orthodox Church, it was with all their pomp and ceremony, and dressed in purple and scarlet colour and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in a hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. These colours were the colours of the Roman Caesars, which the Roman soldiers mockingly robed Christ as king. Remember they put on him a scarlet robe on our Lord? And when he was being mocked by the Roman soldiers, he wore a scarlet robe. That was the clothing and colour of the Caesars, the Roman Caesars, which the Roman Catholic Church came out of that later. These colours are the colours of the Catholic clergy today. They wear red and purple. In fact, I was reading about this in a book. If you ever get a chance to get hold of it, I'll show the church later. There's a book called A Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt, and it explains. He's done all this meticulous research about this particular event and about the Roman Catholic Church and how this applies to the Roman Catholic Church heading up all the ecumenical churches, right? And it's an interesting thing. And he said that the colours are the colours of the Catholic clergy. They wear purple wool for bishops, scarlet silk for cardinals, and the Pope wears red velvet at Christmas time. The golden cup, or the chalice, is the most sacred part of the Mass. And that picture there holds with this woman holding it up. The Roman Catholic Church has thousands of solid gold chalices in churches around the world, just like that. And the cross worn around the neck is made of gold and studded with gems that the Catholic priests wear. They wear a cross around their neck, and the cross is studded with gems. And most of Rome's wealth has been acquired through the sale of salvation, hasn't it? Untold billions of dollars have been paid to her by those who thought they were purchasing heaven. And they were purchasing heaven, they thought, on the installment plan for themselves or loved ones. That's what they did. And the Roman Catholic Church is by far the wealthiest on earth, and they still do this. If you look, in fact, some of these figures I'm giving you are from the Catholic Encyclopedia, which is on the internet. Okay? The Catholic Encyclopedia. And notice this. She has a unique name. Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, verse 5. And the word mystery refers to something that's unknown. They didn't know it before. And in the first century, the woman represented Rome, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. And in the era of John the Apostle, that city had to be Rome. It couldn't have been Babylon. It was Rome. And the woman is called Mystery Babylon. The term Babylon is attached to Rome because, and this is where the history of it comes, because the original Babylon began in Genesis 10 and 11. When Noah's great-grandson, his name was Nimrod, he was the grandson, not the great-grandson, but the grandson of Ham, one of Noah's sons. That was Nimrod. And he travelled to Babel, which is Babylon, in the plain of Shinar, and started to build a city and tower to reach heaven, trying to get to heaven their own way. That's how it all started in Babylon. And history says Nimrod made a great statue to his wife, Semiramis, and set it up in the capital of his empire. And Babel means gate to God, not to the true God. And this was the beginning of idol worship, was the first idols that were worshipped. And God stopped the city, scattered the people, and brought about a confusion of tongues, as we know. And they left and they spread out. Yet out of Babylon came another movement produced by Nimrod's wife, Semiramis. She was the first high priestess, and this is what she did. According to legend, she had a son called Tamaz. And the legend says he was conceived by a sunbeam miracle. You see where this is coming or going? And when Tamaz grew up, he was killed by a wild boar, and 40 days later, after his mother had been weeping for 40 days, he rose from the dead. Does it sound similar to something else? And it was from this story of Semiramis and Tamaz, her son, that the cultic worship of the mother and child began. And the mother was identified as Queen of Heaven. And a feast is kept called Ishtar today, where the term Easter is derived, where they exchange Easter eggs symbolising that. And that's where it started. The mother-son cult finally ended in Rome when the Roman emperor was called the great high priest. So it's gone from Babylon and has moved across now west into Rome. Okay? And all this is documented in a book, The Two Babylons, that traces the movement of pagan cults from Babylon to Rome. And these are some, and there are those today, and some people today teach, that the ancient city of Babylon in Iraq will be rebuilt. And they think a lot of this refers to the ancient city, and they think it'll be rebuilt during the tribulation period. But God has plainly stated that ancient Babylon will never be rebuilt. That city is in ruins today. Saddam Hussein, who started to rebuild it, remember, during that the Desert Storm War, he wasn't building the original city, it was another one. That was a bit tricky because some Christians got caught up with that at the time. It can never be rebuilt. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 51. Jeremiah 51, and look at verse 62. Jeremiah 51 and verse 62. I just wait till people turn to it. Because you've got to look at this yourself. In Jeremiah 50 and 51, it talks about this. And also, by the way, Babylon's destruction is foretold in other passages in the Bible. I'll tell you those in a minute. Jeremiah 51, verse 62. Then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And by the way, this is talking about Babylon. Go back to verse 60. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that should come upon Babylon. See that? Even all these words that are written against Babylon. And verse 61, and Jeremiah said to Sariah, when thou comest to Babylon and shalt see and shalt read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast, but that it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shalt Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I will bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Now, folks, I haven't got time today, right? But if you wanted to write this down, read Isaiah 13, Isaiah 14, Isaiah 21. It tells you about the destruction of Babylon. Isaiah 13, 14, 21, and Isaiah 44 to 47. They all talk about the same thing. In fact, Jeremiah 25, verses 12 to 13 says the same thing. And Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 3 to 51 says the same thing. It's the destruction, the permanent. It will never be rebuilt. Babylon will never be rebuilt. Literal Babylon was conquered by Cyrus and has declined ever since, you see. But remember, there's a literal and a symbolic city, isn't there? And so you've got the literal city destroyed, but the word of God says there's still a mystery one. The mystery one is not the mystery city of Babylon. The mystery one is another city. And the reason why that is because the Bible then tells us how it must be the city of Rome, you see? But Mystery Babylon exists today in the Roman Catholic Church, which is the greatest centre of idol worship in the world. This mystery system and the city of Rome will be burnt in the tribulation period in Revelation 18. That's what we read about next chapter. So these things here, it's a mystery, and it is Rome, okay? And the eighth and last point, she is an adversary of God's people. Look at verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The term saints and martyrs here refer to believers who are killed during the tribulation under persecution from Mystery Babylon. Now, that has got to be in Rome, the Roman Empire. Notice John says the woman is drunk with the blood of the saints and the martyrs there. This isn't being drunk with alcoholic beverage. She's overcome with the murder or slaughter of innocent people or saints who, for conscience sake, would not yield to her totalitarian demands. And this has caused her to reel in bloodthirsty ecstasy. So the more she murdered, the more she wanted to murder. It was like an ecstasy. a raise, you know? And isn't that been true of the Roman Catholicism? One thinks immediately when I thought of that, I thought of the Inquisitions, the Roman and the Spanish ones, which for centuries held Europe in their terrible grip, didn't they? And in Spain alone, just in Spain, 3 million were condemned and 300,000 were burned at the stake. And pagan Rome threw thousands to the lions. And Christians and Christian Rome slaughtered many times that number in the Crusades. The Crusades to retake Jerusalem from the Muslims massacred millions of Jews across Europe in the way down, in the name of Christianity. And the world thinks about that and they go, oh, that's what you're talking about. You Christians, look what you did. No, they didn't. The Great War did it. And the Vatican, who also were involved with assisting the Nazis in the Holocaust. Notice in chapter 17, and just look at verse 18 at the end of that chapter. Chapter 17, verse 18. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. There is only one city. There is only one such a city. And yes, only one. The Vatican City. That fits the woman who rides the beast. Lord, give us wisdom to discern his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today as an introduction to chapter 17. Lord, I know there's a lot of stuff here, but Lord, what it would do is when we study it as born-again believers, the wisdom of God is given to us by the Spirit of God, and we can learn and grow, and we can understand and discern the word and rightly divide it. Help us, Lord, to do that and to be aware of our real enemy, the devil, who's behind it all, working to destroy the church, to destroy unsaved people, to destroy God's people. But we have an advocate in the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we appeal to him, and we safely rest in your arms today. And the victory is ours, and one day will be totally ours. In Jesus' name, amen.